All right. Well, Father, I just thank you so much for this time of fellowship together. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, I want to be in that place, and I know these people here do too, Lord, to where flesh doesn't matter anymore. The world doesn't matter anymore. The only thing that matters, Lord, is obeying you and doing what your spirit tells us to do 24/7. Father, we want to be in that place to where we're guided by you and where flesh doesn't hinder us, where the pride of life, where things of the world don't bother us anymore, that we keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. That's where I want to be, and I know these people do too. Father, bring us into that place. Take us into that place where we have an absolute surrender of ourselves to you, Lord, to where you are the one that's coming out in our lives, Lord, that we are a beacon of light for the world, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us into that realm to where when we get in that quiet place, when we get in our closet early in the morning and we seek you, Father, that you'll give us direction for the day, that you'll give us that manna for the day, Lord. And I praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you tonight, Lord, that you're going to bless this fellowship with your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that there's going to be great testimonies, praise reports. And Father, we know that when we pray, that our prayers are answered because we trust that you're going to do it, Lord. You're going to back up what your word says. And we praise you and we thank you for all that's accomplished this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, all right. Let's see here. First thing on the agenda is to ask for prayers. Anybody need prayer or would like to pray about something? And for us to agree with you, just go right ahead.
I'd like to get prayer for healing.
Okay.
From arthritis, pretty
All
much
right.
throughout your body.
Okay. All right. Then when we pray, Karen, you're going to believe it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And you said in Mark 11:24, when we pray and when we believe what we pray, we shall have it. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of arthritis bound up and cast off of Karen right now in Jesus' name. And all the effects of arthritis, you go right now in Jesus' name. All the swelling, you go in the name of Jesus. All the pain, go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that every joint and every muscle is healed in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that this is a done deal. Amen, Karen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I pray
Thank
that
you.
for Judy too. I thank you, Lord, for Judy's healing too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. All right. Anybody else?
Thank you, Michael. I was gonna have you ask for a prayer for my right shoulder because it is really that old Arthur guy is really getting in there.
Well, okay. We're gonna pray. We're gonna pray against that arthritis. We're gonna pray against that pain, and you're not gonna have it anymore, and you're not gonna claim it anymore either, are you, Judy?
No, I am not.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, right now, we command that spirit of arthritis that's on Judy to go right now in Jesus' name. We command that pain in her shoulder to leave her right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you and command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to go from her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that her whole body is restored as new. And we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. You believe that, Judy?
Yes, I do. And
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else need prayer or would like to pray about something? All right. What about testimonies? Anybody got any testimonies? or praise reports. Hey, Marlon.
Can you hear me okay?
No, I can't. You sound like you're in a barrel of water.
Okay.
You may have to go out and come back in on that other number. Yeah, it's just, it's real. Sound like you're talking out of a, or sound like we can hear the bubbles coming up, like it always is, or has been in the past. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Brother Michael, I have a small testimony.
All right, Pam?
I I live in this apartment complex called Von Orr Village, and there's a young lady that I met that's a couple doors down and over, but, you know, she's in the complex. And she's actually the one, she's a waitress at the Mexican restaurant, and she's actually the one, she was my waitress in November, and she told me about this complex, and, you know, we prayed, and one opened up. So Elena is her name, and so that is actually how I, you know, found this spot here, or the Lord led me to it through Elena. And we developed a friendship, and she was expecting a baby, and I prayed with her a time or two, and one time I actually asked her if I could lay my hands on her belly and everything, and she said that was fine. And towards the end, her big thing was she did not want to be induced, and the baby wasn't coming, and the baby wasn't coming, and she'd heard all these awful things about inducement, and it isn't good. But anyway, the last time I saw her before she had the baby, I just said, well, you know, Elena, God is just giving me the faith that, you know, you're not going to have to be induced. And, you know, do you believe that? And she said, yes, I can believe that with you, you know. And so I laid hands on her, and we prayed in that way. And the deadline was like this Saturday, something about a Saturday, that if it didn't come by Saturday, then she, you know, she was going to have to go to the hospital and go through all the inducements. And anyway, she woke up that Saturday, the deadline day, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, she started having natural labor, and the baby came naturally. So,
praise the Lord.
Anyway, it was right up to the wire, but God saved her just in time.
Amen.
Well, anyway, that's my little testimony. Thank you, Lord. You're a good
amen.
God. It's been bringing babies, too. Hallelujah.
Amen. He generally does that. He'll wait till the last moment to see how we'll act.
Exactly.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for a healthy baby. All right, anybody else? Let's see. Did Marlon? Yeah, Marlon, do you have something?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, you're perfect.
Okay. Yeah, I have a praise report. You know, the tooth we prayed for the other night, it got totally healed. It is just, I mean, that side of my mouth had been so sore for months. Kind of like the brother that shared the other night about his tooth, or his jaw being, that side of his mouth being so sore, and that's how mine was. I think I had mentioned that we prayed for a tooth last, I don't know if it was winter or spring for me, and I thought it was healed, but then it started to come back, and I thought it had come back, but really, I think now what had happened is this tooth beside it was the one that started bothering, and my whole jaw just got so bad, I really couldn't tell what tooth it came from. And then, like 2-3 weeks ago, it just got a really sharp pain, like kind of like the other guy was talking about, that just went to your brain almost. And my wife and I had prayed over, and it did get some better. But since we prayed for it the other night, it totally healed. I mean, it was by Sunday I could chew anything I wanted to on it. So I just praise the Lord for that, for healing both of my teeth, because now they're both healed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He is a great God that we serve. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else?
I do, Michael.
Hey, Chris.
I got a testimony for you.
Yeah, go for it, brother.
All right, well, over the past several months, I've been pretty busy doing a lot of different things, trying to get things, different chores, different jobs done, and I guess the enemy has these real subtle ways of dealing, of taking you back or working on you. And the teaching that you did, that Brother Michael did last Wednesday, I was listening to that teaching on Thursday, and I got to thinking about it because Michael was talking about unforgiveness and how that can be so, that can destroy a person, and it can destroy a person who's trying to follow after God. And I got to thinking about some things, and I realized that over a period of time that unforgiveness and flat-out anger and bad thoughts and things had been coming up in my mind to the point where there was several different people that if they came up in my mind, family members and friends and folks that I was interacting with, that if I talked to them on the phone or emailed or whatever, that I just would get so mad. And I realized that I was really struggling and losing bad against unforgiveness in my life. I've been bebopping along thinking that I had it all under control and that I knew the Lord was taking care of it, but I did not realize how subtle and how fast that the enemy can come in and take over. And this unforgiveness was running rampant in my life. And towards the end of last week, I got to feeling so bad, physically bad, that it was hard for me to go. And Friday evening when I came home, I told Marlene, I was like, I just got to go to bed. I'm just wore out. I can't go, and I feel awful. And I didn't say a whole lot about it, but went to bed probably 7:30 on Friday. And I've been having some really strange dreams for weeks. And I realized at that point that these dreams were warning me of things that I was falling into. And as I tried to sleep Friday night, I realized, and praise God, God worked on me. And I prayed, and I fought, and I thrashed, and I rolled around in the bed. And I was really having some significant physical symptoms, chest pain. I was short of breath. I couldn't move, and I felt so bad. And during that time, God worked on me so that I, realizing that the chest pain, God was indicating to me that I had a real heart problem, and I had a whole lot of unforgiveness that I needed to get rid of. So I don't know, through the night I was praying and finally just realized that, you know what, Lord, you've got to take this away. You know, I was remembering the teaching that Michael had talked about and how difficult it is and how hard it is to lay things down. And throughout the night I was praying, and Friday night I was just praying and crying out to the Lord, and realized that I needed for some heartfelt repentance. And I don't know, probably 2:30, 3 o'clock Saturday morning, I finally fell asleep. And when I woke up Saturday morning, I woke up early, and I looked around the room, and I realized I was actually alive, and I was so thankful. And I realized that it was time to have complete and total repentance for unforgiveness that I had towards family members and towards a couple people that I interact with on a routine basis. So I got down to it, and I prayed, and I asked for repentance. And, you know, our God, the God that we serve, is so loving and is so, will give us, if we're obedient, He will give us what we need. And I woke up, I felt better. I was able to pray. I was able to repent. And I called on the brothers there in Tennessee, and we prayed together. And oh, thank the Lord. I mean, there's been a repentance. I've actually felt led to really forgive these people that I thought had wronged me. And it's a daily struggle. Every day is a new struggle, but I just praise God that He loves me enough that He would chasten me so and would take care of me. And I want to thank you for bringing forth the message, Brother Michael, on we need to always be thinking about forgiveness and praying for forgiveness and to forgive everyone on the spot. And if anybody doesn't remember what that's about. He might, or he might go back and listen to it again, but I just thank the Lord that he is so loving that he would chasten us though now so that we would get it right. And and y'all keep going in with me that I don't go back around that belt. And God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you do chasten us and get us to the point where we will cry out to you, Father. That's just so awesome, Lord, that you do that. It's because the alternative, Lord, is hell itself, and we can't, we don't want to do that. Lord, we just thank you for Chris's cleansing, Lord, and deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Awful quiet.
Okay, I'd share a little bit.
All right, Julie, go right ahead, girl.
Well, I just want to give a testimony about God doing little things, which, you know, you just know he's there and he's just speaking to you. And I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday. I just walked up to the store. I was going to go up and get a bag of rice. I didn't want to carry my purse with me, so I just stuck some money in my pocket. And the Lord just pressed upon my heart. I was only getting a bag of rice. I didn't know how much it was going to cost, but I put a $5 bill and all the loose change I had in my pocket. And so I walked up there and had a conversation with one of the employees that works there. Her name is Bonnie. And the Lord's been allowing me to witness to her. And she is a Christian, and she's got some hindrances. And we ended up having like an hour and a half talk up there. She was done with her shift. We were able to talk for a little while. But getting back to the rice, I went in to get my bag of rice, and I was going back and forth which one to get. And I was going to get a wild rice or brown rice or a mixer or something. And I was looking at them and had it narrowed down to between two kinds, and didn't go with the one because I didn't like the name of it, and so I ended up getting the other one, and it was $6.49, and I had exactly $6.49 in my pocket, and that's what the Lord put in my heart to take with me, and it was exactly to the penny how much I needed for that bag of rice. I just started laughing. I was like, wow, God, you're so awesome. Exactly how much I needed, and he's done that before with me with some other things I bought a while back, and one of the things was a lip balm and something else. I can't remember what it was, but I had just enough money in my purse to buy what I needed at the store. And it's like just the little things. He knew exactly what I was going to buy and how much it was going to cost, and I had exactly to the penny what I needed.
Amen.
You know, it was pretty cool. And,
yeah, it is.
I wanted to pray for this woman, Bonnie, that I've been witnessing to and ministering to. We end up having lunch today. Lord, I have this week off from work, and when I was telling her on the weekend when I talked to her that we don't see each other very much because her shifts had changed and stuff, and I would only see her like on the weekends or in the evening or something, but she's been working days. And I said, well, I've got this week off if you want to get together and have lunch. The Lord just put on my heart to do that. And so we had lunch today, and we met like at 11:30, and she had to be to work at 2:30. And we met at a restaurant. It was a pizza place right here in my complex, and so it was convenient for her to go right to work. And we were talking about the Lord really the whole time, and I was just sharing my testimonies about different things a lot about the Holy Spirit, because I think there's some hindrance there for her to receive it. We talked about it, and it's like, I think she's not sure if she knows what it is or how to receive it, or I don't know if it's a doubt or if it's, there's some things there in her background. Her dad was involved with the Freemasons, and she doesn't know a lot about it. She never checked into it, but I know she told me she has some articles of his that belong to him with the Freemasons. And she still had them. And I was encouraging her to pray about it, but I told her I would get rid of them. We don't need them. And I said they could be a big hindrance to you for a lot of reasons. And I didn't go into it because I didn't know where she really was spiritually with all that. But I was really encouraging her to pray about it and to get rid of it. And But I don't know if that's it or if there's some other things. But she's also got some living situation here with a person, a roommate situation where he's Catholic and he's just got all kinds of figurines and crosses and rosaries and all kinds of stuff and statues all around, like a shrine, she said, in I don't know if it was the living room or where it was, but she goes, I just feel evil presence everywhere in the house. And but she feels like the Lord's putting on her heart that change was going to be coming, that she'd be moving. She has family in Tennessee, but I don't know exactly where that was. I want to say it was near Nashville, but I don't know if that's exactly the right area or not. But the Lord's given her some pretty incredible dreams she shared with me too, and I know that his hand is on her, and she's shared some things where the Lord has saved her from, you know, protected her and stuff, and she's really uncertain about a lot of things in the future. I've given her a Sovereign God book, but she has yet to read it, and I think part of it's the oppression in her home. There's a lot of hindrances, I think, that are keeping her from getting closer with the Lord. And she carries a Bible around with her all the time, and she reads her Bible when she's on her lunch break from work and stuff all the time. And anyhow, I just would like prayer for her, and she really needs direction and wisdom and some clarity and some deliverance. And I've been praying with, you know, about that with the Lord, how I can help her in that. But the other part of the testimony is our lunch today went, last time we looked at the clock, it was like 1:08 or something like that. And we just kept talking and fellowshipping over the Lord and stuff. And then to look at the clock again, and it was like, she was supposed to be working at 2:30, and it was 2:50. She was 20 minutes late for work. And she's like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, no. That's okay. I said, we're here with the Lord, and this is all about the Lord. He's going to bless you. You're not going to get in any trouble. And we prayed. And we just pray God's grace and mercy on her, and that she would not be in any kind of trouble for being late or anything like that. And she wasn't. I stopped by later, and she said, oh, everyone was just concerned because she's never late, and they just thought something had happened. And but she wasn't in any trouble, but she was worried that she would be in trouble, and she wasn't. So she would just all pray with me and agree that God would do a work there and move in her life and give her direction and get her free from this oppression where the home where she's at, and make a way for her to get another place. She doesn't make a lot of money. It's she and her son and this other man, and this person, and whatever needs to be done there. I just ask Father to keep it, make a way for her to get out from there.
Amen. Why don't you go ahead and pray, and we'll believe with you. Every one of us will hook up our faith with yours.
Amen.
Julie.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, I just thank you so much for the time ahead, the song, and what you're doing there. And I just see so much encouragement with where she has so many questions, and she reads your word, and she's got so many things. I see such good qualities there, Lord, and a desire to know you. And Lord, I lift up to the throne of grace, and I pray for her deliverance. I pray for your protection upon her and their home. I pray that you would make a way for her to move, to find a new place, or if you're putting on her heart, Lord, to move elsewhere, that you would open up that door and provide for her the opportunity and the means for her to go, and continue to give her the dreams. And to continue to speak to her the way you've been speaking to her, and by her spirit, and whatever hindrances are in her home with this Freemason and this Catholicism and all these religious presence that are there, these spirits that she feels there, Lord, I pray your protection and deliverance from that, and you would make a way for her to be free from it. And if she needs to get rid of these items, I encourage her to, Lord, but you're the one that has to give her the revelation and the understanding to do so. And I pray that she will be able to do that, Lord, in your time and in your way. And I also pray your blessing and protection on her at work, and that you would encourage her, Lord, to read and stay in your word and seek you for the Holy Spirit and seek you for the gift. And and seek you to know you more and to want that relationship. And I just pray, Father, that all that I have shared with her, Lord, that it would be you and not me, and that it would have the positive effect on her, Lord, that you want it to have. And I just give you all praise and glory for what you're going to do there. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in this girl. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen. We count that as all done. It's already done. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else?
Having some confusion about a church that I've been attending. And just keep that in prayer, for God would give me wisdom.
Okay. Well, Lord, go ahead, Karen, pray. We'll believe with you, sister.
Okay. All right. Oh, Father God, I want to thank you for bringing me to that church. I know that I've learned so much in it. I don't understand what's going on at this point, and I need to understand what your will is for me in this. So I ask you for wisdom, Lord, and I pray that the things in me, the enemy, that would interfere, that you would give me the spirit of it. And I thank you for what you need to do. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just ask that you protect her from any kind of divisiveness or faction or anything else that might be going on in that church, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that she is protected by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Testimony, praise report, or just like to share a little what the Lord's showing you.
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Judy.
Yeah, I'd like to give a praise report. The other day at our meeting, right before the meeting, I was walking trying to find the steps, and I kind of my feet got kind of tangled up in the weeds there, and I fell, and I didn't. I don't have far to go since I'm short, but I felt my head hit the cement and kind of bounce up. I thought, oh, wow. You know, but I said, I rebuked it right away, and I said, I'm fine. There's no problem. And there hasn't been any problem, and there wasn't any problem. But, I mean, I could really feel my head hit that cement just like a ball. But
it's an old hard head you got. For his God.
I thank the Lord for keeping me safe.
Praise God. Yeah.
Happened to me. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for keeping Judy. Okay, anyone else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share tonight that the Lord's been showing you? Okay. Well, you know, I'd like to get into something here about waiting on God. And this teaching, more or less, comes from last century, and comes from a man that's over the years has been widely read, and he has some wonderful insights into the spiritual realm, and I'd just like to talk about it just a few minutes and kind of paraphrase the things that he talked about. First thing he does, he quotes Psalm 62 and 5. He says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." And here's a question that he asked. He said, is the God, this is a question that we all ought to ask ourselves. And it is the God I have a God that is to me above all circumstances, nearer to me than any circumstance can be? And so what he's talking about there. He said, have you learned to live your life having God so really with you every moment that in the most difficult circumstances, God is always more present and nearer than anything around you? The knowledge of God's words is going to help us very little unless that comes to be the question that we get the answer to. And what can be the reason that so many of God's children complain continually that their circumstances separate them from God? And their trials, their temptations, their character, their temper, their friends, their enemies, anything comes between them, between God and them. Is God not able to take possession so that he can be nearer to me than anything in the world? Must riches, poverty, joy, or sorrow have power over me that my God has not? No. But why then do God's children complain that their circumstances separate them from him? They, but one answer, they don't know their God. And if there's trouble or feebleness in the church of God, it's because of this. We don't know the God that we have. And that's why, in addition to the promise, I will be thy God, the promise is so often added, and you shall know that I am your God. And if I know that, not through man's teaching, not with my mind or my imagination, but if I know that in the living evidence which God gives in my heart, then I know that the divine presence of my God is going to be so wonderful, and my God himself will be so beautiful and so near that I can live all my days and years a conqueror through him that loved me. Ain't that the life that we need? Each one of us. And the question comes again, why is it that God's people don't know their God? And the answer is, they take anything rather than God. They take ministers, they take preaching, they take books and prayers, and they take work and efforts, any exertion of human nature, instead of waiting, and waiting long if need be, until God reveals himself to you. There is no teaching that we can get and no effort that we can put forth that can put us in possession of this blessed light of God all in our souls. But it is attainable. It's within our reach if God will reveal himself, and that's the one necessity that we have. I would to God that everyone would ask at heart whether he has said and is saying every day, I want more of God. Don't speak to me only of the beautiful truth there is in the Bible. That can't satisfy me. I want God. In our inner Christian life, in our everyday prayers, in our Christian living, in our churches, in our prayer meetings, in our fellowship, it's got to come to that God always has the first place. And if that be given him, he's going to take possession. And if in our lives as individuals, every eye were set upon God, upon the living God, every heart were crying, my soul thirsteth for God. What power, what blessing, and what presence of the everlasting God would be revealed to us. Let me use a little bit of an illustration here that he uses in this. He says, when a man is given an illustrated lecture, he often uses a long pointer to indicate places on a map or charts. Do you look at the pointer? No, that only helps to show them the place on the map, and they don't even think of it. That pointer might be made of fine gold, but the pointer is not what satisfies them. They want to see what the pointer points at. And this Bible is nothing but a pointer, pointing to God. And I may say it with reverence. Jesus Christ came to point us, to show us the way, to bring us to God. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people who love Christ and who trust in him, but who fail of the one great object of his work. They have never learned to understand what the scripture saith. He died that he might bring us unto God. Praise the Lord. And there's a difference between the way and the end which he's aiming at. I might be traveling in the most beautiful scenery, in the most delightful company. But if I've got a home to which I want to go, all that scenery, all the company, and all the beauty and happiness around me is not going to satisfy me. I want to reach my home. And God, listen, God is meant to be the home of our souls. Christ came into the world to bring us back to God. And unless we take Christ for what God intended, our religion will always be a divided one. As we read over in Hebrews chapter 7, he is able, 7:25, he is able to save to the uttermost. Who's he talking about? Them that come to God by him, not them that only come to Christ. In Christ, bless his name, we have the graciousness, the condescension, and the tenderness of God. But a lot of times we're in danger of standing there and being content with that. And Christ wants to bring us back to rejoice as much in the glory of God himself, in his righteousness, in his holiness, and his authority, his presence, and his power. And he can save completely those who come to God through him. Now here's a few thoughts on the way. We can come to know God as this God above all circumstances. Everything that ever happens around your heart, God can overcome them for you. Feel in your heart every day. And the one thing is needful is this. I got to wait upon God. And if you read this in another version, it says, my soul is silent unto God. What ought to be the silence of the soul unto God? A soul conscious of its littleness, its ignorance, its prejudices, and its dangers from passion, from all that is human and sinful. A soul conscious of that and saying, I want the everlasting God to come in and to take hold of me and to take such hold of me that I may be kept in the hollow of his hand for my life, the rest of my life. I want him to take such possession of me that every moment he may work all in me. And that's what is implied in the very nature of our God, how we ought to be silent unto him and wait upon him and listen for him. What is God for? That's a question we need to ask. A God is for this, to be the light and the life of creation, the source and power of all existence, the beautiful trees, the green grass, the bright sun. God created that they might show forth his beauty, his wisdom, and his glory. And a 100-year-old tree, when it was planted, God didn't give it a stock of life by which to carry on its existence. No, God clothes the lilies every year afresh with their beauty. Every year God clothes the tree with his foliage and his fruit. And every day and every hour, it is God who maintains the life of all nature. And God created us that we might be the empty vessels in which he could work out his beauty, his will, his love, and the likeness of his blessed Son. That's what God is for, to work in us by his mighty operation without one moment ceasing. And when we begin to get a hold of that, I can no longer think of the true Christian life as a high impossibility and an unnatural thing, but I say it is the most natural thing in creation that God should have me every moment. He should guide me every moment, and that my God should be nearer to me than all else. Just think for a moment what folly it is to imagine that I cannot expect God to be with me every moment. Well, if that's the case, then look at the sunshine. Have you ever had any trouble as you were working or you were studying or reading a book in the light the sun gives? Have you ever said, oh, I wish I could box up that light and take it with me? How can I be sure that I will continue to use that? Well, you never had that thought. God's taking care of the sun itself. It's going to provide that light as long as you're looking. The light comes unbidden, and I ask you, what think you? Has God arranged that the light of that sun that will one day be burned up, and it will, can come to you unconsciously and abide in you blessedly and mightily? And is God not willing, or is he not able to let his light and his presence so shine through you that you can walk all the day with God nearer to you than anything in nature, praise God. He can do it. Listen. And why doesn't he do it? Well, why so seldom? And why in such feeble measures do we get that? There ain't but one answer. We don't let him. We are so occupied and filled with other things, religious things, preaching and praying and studying and working. So occupied with our religion that we don't give God the time to make himself known to us, to enter in and to take possession. We ought to be hollering out, my soul, wait thou only upon God, praise the Lord. Now this, he says, I might show that this is the very glory of the Creator, the very life Christ brought into the world, the life he lived, and the very life Christ wants to lift us up to in its entire dependence on the Father. And the secret of the Christ-like is this, such a consciousness of God's presence that whether it was Judas who came to betray him, or Caiaphas who condemned him unjustly, or Pilate who gave him up to be crucified, the presence of the Father was upon him and within him and around him, and man couldn't touch his spirit. And that's the way God wants us to be, you and I both. He said, doesn't all your anxious restlessness and futile effort prove that you have not let God do his work? God is drawing us to himself. And this is not your own wish and the stirring of your own heart, but the everlasting divine magnet is drawing us. These restless yearnings and thirstings are the work of God. He says, come and be still and wait upon God, and he will reveal himself, and he will. And how am I to wait on God? First of all, in prayer, take more time to be still before God without saying one word. What is, in prayer, the most important thing? It's that we catch the ear of him to whom I speak. We're not ready to offer our petition until we are fully conscious of having secured the attention of God. A lot of you saying right now, you tell me you know all that. Well, you might know it. But you need to have your heart filled by the Holy Spirit with the holy consciousness that the everlasting Almighty God has indeed come very near you. The loving one is longing to have you for his own. Be still before God and wait and say, God, take possession. Reveal yourself, not to my thoughts or my imagination, but by the solemn, all-bringing, soul-subduing consciousness that God is shining upon me. Bring me to the place of dependence and humility. Prayer may indeed be waiting upon God, but there's a great deal of prayer that's not waiting upon God. Waiting on God is the first and best beginning for prayer. And when we bow in the humble, silent acknowledgement of God's glory and nearness, we begin to pray. There will be the very blessing that we often get only at the end. From the very beginning, I come face to face with God. I am in touch with the everlasting omnipotence of love, and I know my God's going to bless me. We ought never to be afraid to be still before God. And we should then carry that stillness into our work, when we go to church on when we go to church or to the prayer meetings on the weekday, it will be with the one desire that nothing may stand between us and God, and that we may never be so occupied with hearing as listening as to forget the presence of God. You know, oh, that God might make every minister what Moses was at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses led the people out to meet God, and they did meet him until they got scared. Let every minister ask with all the earnestness his soul can command that God may deliver him from the sin of preaching and teaching without making the people feel, first of all, that man wants to bring us to God himself. And it can be felt not only in the words, but in the very disposition of the humble, waiting, worshiping heart. We got to carry this waiting into all our worships. We'll have to make a study of it. We will have to speak about it. We will have to help each other, because the truth has been lost too long in the churches of Christ. We got to wait upon God about it, and then we shall be able to carry it out into our daily life. There's a lot of Christians out there who wonder why they fail. But you can think about it just a minute. The ease with which we join in conversation and spend hours in fellowship and talking about nothing, never thinking that all this may be dissipating the soul's power and letting them to spend hours not in the immediate presence of God. And I'm afraid this is the great difficulty, that we're not willing to make that needed sacrifice for a life of continual waiting upon God. And some of us that feel it is an impossibility to spend every moment under the covering of the Most High, in the secrets of His pavilion. Listen, don't think it too high or too difficult. It is too difficult for you and I to attain, but our God will give it to us by faith. Let us begin now to wait more earnestly and intensely upon God. Let us in our homes sometimes bow a little in silence. Let us in our closets wait in silence and make a covenant, it may be without words, that with our whole hearts we're going to seek God's presence to come in on us. What is religion? Just as much as you have of God working in you, that alone is religion. And if you want more religion, more grace, more strength, and more fruitfulness, you got to have more God. And let that be the cry of our hearts. Lord, give us more of you, more of you, and more of you. And let us say to our souls, my soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. Oh, praise be to the Lord. All right, that was by Andrew Murray. And man has some beautiful insights into the spiritual realm. I'd like to open it up now and see if anybody has any comments on anything we'd just shared. I know I kind of just paraphrased that one chapter there, but I thought it was so good. And he showed us a path to lead us into allowing God to work in our lives 24/7. And we do it all by faith. We allow God to do it by faith. Amen. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to add or talk about?
What was that book again, Mike?
That's The Master's Indwelling. The Master's Indwelling. It's a good book. I've only read a few chapters of it, but that one chapter there opened up my eyes to another realm of spirituality that we all ought to be seeking for, and I have made it a point to try to get up early in the morning and to wait on God and get direction from Him for the day, and that's what He wants. And then be cognizant, but in the spirit, looking for those signs that God gives us all along. You know, every day there's signs out in the world that God gives us. We've all seen them. And allow him to lead us in everywhere we go and everything that we do. And then we won't fail if we'll do that. Sometimes a lot of people don't believe that that's possible to allow God to do that. Well, the Word says you can. He will. And if the Word says it, I believe it. So I'm striving for that 24/7 of talking to God and just listening and watching and hearing God talk to me through everything. He uses everything, as you probably already know, to talk to us. And it's just that we haven't opened up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears a lot of times to hear God talking to us.
You know, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
That's how Enoch, you know, Enoch learned to do that.
Yep.
And he's my example, you know, and this is just wonderful thing because that's the whole point, you know, being a friend of God every second of every day. So that's all I had to say. You need to mute me again.
Well, that's true. That's why he wants us. He wants us to be that friend of his. He wants us to walk with him, you know. And how are we going to do that if we're out there running our, as we said, running our mouth so much instead of listening, instead of praying, instead of asking God? When you come into fellowship, what happened? When it's a time of prayer and praise and honoring God, what happens? Do you find yourself talking to somebody for 35, 40 minutes before services or during services? Or do you come in there with great expectations of God's wonders that he's going to do that night or that evening or that day? All right now, y'all are awful quiet. Is that something y'all want to attain? Is this 24/7 listening and watching God? Having him as a friend? He wants to call you friend. Only way you're going to be a friend of his is to get in his presence. Amen. I guess everybody here is walking with the Lord real good. I often find myself too often, not listening to God and working out of the flesh. And I want God to take that out of me. I want God to take all the world and all of the self out of me where there's nothing left but God. And it's something that I have to do, and that is I have to get in his presence.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got to hang up.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael. Blessings to everybody. I've been enjoying listening.
All right, Malcolm. Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got anything? What was that? Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Like to talk about? Any questions?
Michael?
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
A couple of weeks on the weekend, Nora was visiting a sister. I was a weekend alone. I was praying and fasting. I was in such a nice place. But coming Monday morning at work, that all changes. Any advice on that? How can I keep the King of God? The atmosphere of wasting the team is...
You're talking about getting
in... You understand, Michael?
Yeah, I think so. You're talking about how do you stay in that rest? How do you stay in that presence of God?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's just walking by the Spirit. Jesus said that every man who wants the pearl of great price, that's God the Father who wants him and wants his presence with you all the time. He must sell all that he has to buy that pearl. In other words, you have to give everything you have to the Lord. Submit and surrender everything to the Lord. And then he'll come in and he'll take his place on the throne in your heart. But we have to be willing to give it all up. Will you give your flesh up? Will you give the world up? And tell the Lord, you know, I just want to be your friend. And to be his friend means to give up everything. Everything. I have to give up my personality. Give it all up. And then walk with the Lord the way he wants you to. And listen to him. And when he tells you to be, to do something, be obedient. He says obedience is better than sacrifice, doesn't he? You know, we sacrifice a lot, but sacrifice means nothing to him if you're not obeying the word of God. When he says to turn the other cheek, are you turning the other cheek? And all of those things he talks about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's how you walk with the Lord. I know that's kind of a short answer, but if anybody else would like to comment on that, feel free. How do you walk? Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
You know, it's just been the very thing that's been stirring in my heart these days lately. I talked with you a little bit on the phone about that. You know, I was thinking about that scripture that says that there's no respect of persons with God. And on one level, you know, that's a truth that any man, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. And that God will, those that he deals equitably with everyone. And if any person that draws nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. But there is another part of the Lord that the Lord was showing me in my heart. God gave a testimony about David. He spoke about David and he said, David was a man after my heart. Now, he didn't say that about very many people. There's another place he speaks of Abraham, the friend of God. These were men that God gave testimony. Another man was Enoch, walked with God and was not found because God had taken him. But before his translation, it said he had this testimony that he pleased God. This is God's testimony, and God has a testimony of some men's lives, and David was a man after his heart. That, to me, that signifies that David was not seeking what God can do for me, which is the central issue of most Western Christianity, is in 10 steps to this and 10 steps to prosperity and how to get blessed by God and how, you know what? God gave respect to David because David was seeking God's heart. He was not just looking for what God could do for him, but he was in a place where he was saying, how can I honor, how can I make God happy? How can I build a house unto the Lord, a place for his dwelling, where he will find rest? David was concerned with God's joy and not what God should be concerned with my joy and my wealth and my happiness and my health and my prosperity and my blessing. And I think that so much of the time, without even knowing it, and you know, one brother, you've probably listened to the testimony of 10 shekels in a shirt, which is a good message by Paris Reedhead. But he said in there, he said, may I speak to you tonight of utilitarian Christianity that makes God a means rather than the glorious end he was intended to be. When I think of heaven, I don't think of golden streets. I don't think of pretty flowers and birds and fruit trees that bear fruit 12 times a year with different fruits. If you have a vision, a true vision of heaven, heaven is a person. The pearl of great price is to be in his favor and to dwell in his presence. It says that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. God created us to be in fellowship with him. That's what he made mankind for, was to fellowship with God. We'll never find that place. We'll never find true north in our life and our bearing until we get into the presence of God and come into proper union with him. But you know what? There's a subtle snare in all of this, because a Pharisee is not a person who lacks dedication. You know, you don't find fluffy Pharisees. They're not fluffy. They're very devoted. They memorize the first five books of the law by the time they're 12 years old. They fast 2 days out of every week. They pay tithe. They do all these things. And God says that the publicans and harlots are going to enter the kingdom before you. He told the Pharisees of that day, which was a very hard word. He said, unto what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace saying to their fellows, we piped unto you and you won't dance. We've lamented for you and you won't mourn. But John the Baptist came neither eating or drinking. You say the man has a devil. The Son of Man came both eating and drinking. And you say he's a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, friend of publicans and harlots. But wisdom is justified for children. The religious leaders of this day, right now, and there's a danger in all of this, that the devotion that God's seeking, the highest devotion, is still not sweat equity. It's not, man, how can we attain to the anointing of God and to the power of God and the grace of God and the revelation of God? It's not that at all. I believe it's tied with the 18th chapter of Proverbs when it says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. There has to be a glimpse in our heart. It said Jesus in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, after he gets done with the whole faith chapter, he says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Brothers and sisters, there's only one motivation that's going to be able to bring us past that veil of this natural realm through the cross to the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. And that is a glimpse by the Holy Spirit of the glory of God, the glory of his kingdom, the glory of his fellowship, the glory of his presence. It's not going to be by sweat equity, I fast more, I pray more, I do. Those things may be a byproduct and probably will. But it's not going to be that that's going to bring it. It's going to be the revelation that brings the devotion, that brings the sacrifice. It's going to be the joy set before us that causes us to be able to pay the price. It says that man, I thought about that parable this week about that Michael mentioned, about the pearl of great price. For the kingdom of heaven is as a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, sold everything he had that he might possess it. When you get a glimpse, I can't help but be brought back to the remembrance of a word that Spurgeon spoke when he talked about a man, an unbelieving man, or a man who had been a flake in his walk with God. And it says, and alas, the thread is snapped that bound the spirit to your body, and now you're rid of that flesh that kept you sullen, stupid, and dead. And you see with stark clarity your terrible plight, thrust into eternity without Christ. The point being is that right now we're fighting a battle with the natural man that fights against us, that keeps us sometimes sullen and sometimes dull to the spiritual realm. There's a continual battle. And I believe that with all of my heart, we have to cry out to God for the revelation, for that joy set before him, for us, for that glimpse of the pearl of great price, the value of that eternal kingdom that will cause us with joy, without even, as Paul says, the sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. But the whole creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Brethren, I think sometimes we're like little children. I remember when I was a little kid, and they were trading. An older guy was getting me to trade the dimes for my dimes for his nickels, because they were bigger and they looked bigger and they looked like a better deal to me. And I think sometimes we do that all the time with this natural world. The enemy and the world gets us to trade our dimes for nickels and pennies, when God has things for us that we need to get a glimpse of this. If I'm crying out to God, and it seems to me right now that the thing that I can only cry out for these days is, God, let me see beyond the veil. Let me see things from your perspective. Let me see that pearl of great price. Let me see the glory of your person, your majesty, your kingdom. Let me see, Lord God, that I may never again, Lord God, trade the things that are eternal for the things that are temporal. I believe with all my heart we desperately need to get a glimpse of that pearl of great price. And I believe that that heaven is a person. If God was absent from heaven, I don't care how beautiful of a place it was with mountains and rivers and streams and beautiful things. If God wasn't there, it'd be hell. It's the person of God that makes heaven. And it's the person of God that can make heaven in a hellish situation on earth, that men can give testimonies of being in prison and having the greatest encounters with God, that they would never trade that time in prison that they had for the freedom they had before, because they tasted of that eternal realm and it became so real to them, because as the natural realm faded away around them, that eternal kingdom became more and more real. And I'm here to tell you the greatest joy you could ever know is in his presence. The greatest experience, God longs to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. He's seeking, running to and fro the eyes of the Lord throughout the earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. And what the Lord spoke to me this week was, I am a respecter of persons. In this sense, that when he finds a heart that's seeking not what God can do for him, not seeking the wealth of what God can give me, but seeking the person of the glory of God, seeking his majesty, seeking his presence, seeking to be in his favor, seeking to know him, how to please him, how to honor him, how to be fruitful for his glorious kingdom, how to make his heart pleased and happy with us, longing to be a pleasing son. When he sees a heart like that, then he has a testimony that he only gives a few men. He gives a testimony, Abraham, the friend of God, that Enoch was translated and was not found because God had translated him, but before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. That you have the testimony of David, a man after God's heart, and the testimony of Moses, the only man that God knew face to face. I mean, brethren, these are marvelous testimonies, and they're not testimonies that flesh gives. This is testimonies of the Almighty, and God is a respecter of those whose hearts are perfect toward him, who are seeking his honor, who are seeking the person of God, not his gifts, who are seeking to honor and please him with all of their hearts, that long for him, that long for his presence. And I tell you without a doubt that right now, if we begin to cry for those things that count with eternity, the things that are on God's heart, when we begin with our spirit and our heart to cry, oh, Father, take my heart, mold it, transform me, give me that new heart, that new spirit that burns with desire for the living God, free me from my own desire. You know what? It's not going to be that we're going to attain by our sacrifice, by our devotion, by our, you know, the Hindus all day long. Brother, I know Hindu people that have fasted for 300 days. There are people that are into this stuff, you know, and these are heathens. But I'm telling you something without a doubt, and that is this, that God wants a people who, for the joy set before them, they endure the cross. It's that great desire to honor and please God. They're not doing it out of duty. They're not doing it to somehow win God's favor. They want him so badly that they want him above their daily bread. They want to be with him. They long to know him. They long to be in a place where they can walk and live in the favor and anointing and blessing of the Almighty God, where they can know his glory. Moses said, oh, Lord, show me your glory. And it pleased God. He took him up on the mountain. And he said, I'm going to show you about as much as you're going to be able to take. So he hit him in the cleft of a rock and covered him with the palm of his hand and slipped by. And he saw the after part of his glory, because it would have melted him. He couldn't take any more than that. And yet, even so, he came down off the mountain and they had to cover his face with a veil because the glory of God was so bright on his countenance that men could not look upon him. And brothers, that was the glory. You look at that scripture that says, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. I think it's 2 Corinthians 3, but it says, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was so glorious that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glory? And if the ministration of condemnation be glory, shall not the ministration of righteousness exceed that glory? And I've said it before, and I believe it with all of my heart, brethren, as it says in Ezekiel 47, waters to the ankles, waters to the knees, waters to the loins, waters to swim in. I'm convinced that we've barely tasted the waters to our ankles. God has for us and has for his people. You read John 17 and the prayers he had. I and the Father will come and make our abode with you. As the Father loveth me, so he loveth you. God, we have an inheritance in Christ that we don't even have. We're like little children still playing with pennies. God wants to set a glorious kingdom before us and call us into his presence in a way that we can't even comprehend, to show us treasures of the Spirit. Brother, when I look at that scripture, when it says Abraham by faith sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, but the land of promise, dwelling in the land of promise, a land where 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4, but 5 loaves and 2 fishes God can feed 5,000 with, and where he can walk on water and speak to a storm. God wants to call us to a place where we live in the Spirit. Nothing is impossible to us. But everything we do because we only seek to please our Father. We only do those things which we hear our Father do. We do nothing of ourselves, as the Lord Jesus said, but we're in such a place of separation unto God where we can truly say with Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet it's not I. It's Christ himself living his life in us and through us. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the works of the law, Christ died in vain. God's wanting to take us deeper, brothers and sisters, but it's going to come as we get a glimpse that's going to call us deeper. It's going to be a glimpse of that pearl of great price that is going to cause all the sufferings of this present time to be unworthy to be counted, compared with the glory that God wants to reveal in the people. And right now, brothers and sisters, the call is there. It's whosoever will, without respect of persons. But those that come into that place and come into that abiding place and that place where they live for his presence, that they cannot live without his presence. They long for God more than they long for their daily bread. They long for him more than their next breath. The pursuit of God is self-propitiating. The more you seek, the hungrier you get, the more you seek. And there's a place where you get consumed with the presence of God, and you long for it more than your daily bread. I seek that place. I cry out for that place. And I'll tell you, when you've attained that place, and I don't say it attained as a fleshly attainment, but a place where your heart has been separated unto God, then you'll have the testimony of God, as was Enoch, as was Abraham, as David, as Daniel, as other men of God. You'll have the testimony that you please him. And those men that have that testimony, God does have respect of persons for.
Michael?
Yes?
I was just thinking, what helps me is to remember that when I exchanged my life for Jesus' life, I'm not me anymore. You know, I'm Jesus is in me now. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. And 1 John 4:19, I think it is. Anyway, says, as Jesus is now, his resurrected power in my mind, so are we now in this world. We're not us anymore. And so, since we're Jesus now, inside of Jesus, we're the same at the office or at home or at church on Sunday or whatever. And that helps me remind myself that that's, you know, we have a new name, we have a new character, we have new authority. And so, I just wanted to add that because that helps me to remember that.
Amen. Okay, is anyone else? Michael, thank you so much, man. That was awesome. Again, God is a respecter of persons to those who obey him. Amen. And there is a life with God as a friend. There's been a few people, a few men, a few women down through the ages that have gotten into that close, that closeness that he calls you a friend. And it can be attained. We just have to allow God to work that in us. But we have to want it. We have to want it enough to give up everything, surrender, and submit everything to Him. Just like Michael was talking about. I want it. I'm like Michael, I'm crying to God every day, Lord, bring me into that realm with you. Okay, has anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about? Comment on what Michael was talking about, what we talked about tonight. It's being a friend of God and getting into that closeness with Him. It's a sacrifice, but if you think of it in the long term, it's not a sacrifice. It's actually giving up things that you don't need anyway. You won't need them in heaven. What you'll want in heaven is God. What do you think, Andrew?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm still jazzed about those verses in Isaiah 11, where it talks about spirit and all knowledge and understanding and wisdom and might. And it's just applying to everything that I read. But I found another pretty cool verse that in Romans chapter 4, where it's talking about Abraham. And it's the 21st verse. This is when he wasn't doubting for having his heir. And it just says something there that I think really helps people in their faith, I think. And it says, and being fully assured that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. Because, he was looking to that promise, it says in 20. And, when I saw that word looking, I remembered that verse we all like to quote, the mirror verse, you know. And we look for that transformation from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. And that's the promise of God, that transformation. And I was just thinking when all this was being said, Jesus was with his disciples, and one of them said, just show us the Father. And he said, I've been with you so long, and you haven't seen me? Something along that line, anyway. And, I was thinking of that verse, and also that the verse of Colossians 1:27, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I was trying to collate those in my mind for a while now, and you read about Jesus and all these blessings he's given you in this corporate body, the faith, the love, and all done through us by the hand of God. And it's just so wonderful and lovely, and it's so much. And it's unthinkable on how much it is. And then you wonder of our Father's sovereignty to make all this come to pass, and it's just sometimes you wonder, like, well, why isn't it all come to pass yet? Like, what am I waiting for? And I was just really, a couple of days ago, because I'm reading Romans now, that right at 20, right down to the 25 there of chapter 4, it's just so uplifting that even tells us that what was for him was also for us, that it shall be for ours, but for ours also, to whom it shall be reckoned, this who believe on him that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who delivered us up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Now, it's just, it's almost like he's repeating this justification and this deliverance, this sacrifice and made righteous. And then in 5, of course, it talks about righteousness again. And no, it just really moved me to read that 21st verse of chapter 4. You know, I just thought of all the pictures there when you're listening to Sovereign God of the space and the galaxies and the stars. He created all that, and we don't really think of all that he is fully assured that what he had promised, he is also able to perform. And that has to be God the Father, because he's choreographing all of this in our lives, I think. He thought of the plan with Jesus, and it's a really good plan when you read about him and how much of a gift he's given to us. It's just so overwhelming, and it's been done, and we're sort of trying to catch up to it somehow. And the hindrances of the world, you know, like even when I go to work every morning, I try to get close to God, you know. I hear from the flesh enough. It's about time I hear from God. So that was even a sort of a statement I made with him, you know, like, you hear from the flesh an awful lot. Let's hear from the Lord now, you know, because too much of that other stuff is you always got to stand and keep it away from you, you know, let nothing interfere with that knowledge of God that you got to cast down those reasonings. And just adhere to that knowledge of God, which has probably a lot to do with your life, because from the lack of knowledge, there's my people perish from a lack of knowledge. So there has to be life with that knowledge, and an abundance of that knowledge would be built up in you, as it says in the 8th chapter of Corinth, that knowledge can puff up, but we want the built-up part. So that's just built up in God's glory. It's a lot of avenues that you can try to collate and look at this wonderful gift that we have. And it's just so amazing that he would offer such a great thing to us, who are very, at the time when you didn't know nothing about it, are so undeserving. And yet, we sort of have our iron sharpening iron in here, and sometimes we wonder if we should challenge Jesus Christ himself to that sharpening. That could be maybe the way I'll try and try to hear from him. If we can all do it to each other, I'm sure Jesus does it with us all the time. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That's right. That's right. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah.
I was thinking some wonderful benefits of copying Enoch is a healthy, long, peaceful and joyful life, and not even seeing death. You know, he didn't have to see death. He was not. That's, you know, I mean, but still, there's so much to do, and I want to live long to grow up enough to help my others.
Okay. You're kind of cutting in and out, Linda. That's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. All right. Well, thank you. Anybody else? Hey, Chad, are you still around?
I'm here, brother.
Okay. Well, do you have anything you'd like to share tonight?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, as you were sharing and Brother Michael Montana was sharing, I was pondering some dealings that the Lord has been working with me on, and a question came to me, and I thought, how noisy is it in your soul? Is it noisy in there? Because, you know, the Lord says that he leads us beside the still waters, and I like the footnote in the ASV Bible. It says waters of rest. The translation there is, the actual Hebrew translation is waters of rest. And so I've been making it a practice, maybe I'd call it practicing his presence, so just learning to be aware of the presence of the Lord in my day-to-day life when it's not there. Like when I'm feeling agitated in my soul, is that agitation something coming from the Lord because he's goading me on to something else, or is that something that's trying to just get me out of the rest? So that's something I've been really pondering and thinking about, and I've noticed that as I just make it a practice more to wait on the Lord, not get in a hurry, you know, and when I sit down to read the Word or teaching or whatever, is just not try to rush through it, not see how much I can get, I don't set any goals for myself, really. I just really am looking to the Lord, to hear from the Lord, because I want more than just the words on the page. I need his voice, you know, I need his presence. I need to have that communion with him, and that's what it's about for me. Every time it's about that sweet communion with him, and that's what I'm looking for. And the Lord's had me reading through Perfection Through Christ, and I've just really been taking my time going through it. I sat down today, I'm in chapter 7, and I read through the first couple sections a few days ago, and then I decided I'm going to start over because I feel like I want to get even more out of that. Because the Word is such a deep well. And so I sat down, and I think I spent about an hour in the first little paragraph. There are about maybe three verses in there from Galatians 3. And I was just thinking on the Lord, and I was feeling a lot of agitation in my soul. And as I just waited on the Lord, I just felt this revelatory realm just open up to me. And it's like the Lord just opened up these verses. And a lot of times what he'll do with me is he'll just bring to my remembrance other verses, you know, that I put in my heart that connect with those verses. And then he'll speak to me about maybe circumstances in my life, maybe attitudes. He'll give me revelation. He'll deal with me. He'll convict me, you know, whatever he wants. I need that bread and that wine of Christ, you know, every time I sit down and commune. And so anything I'm learning to make it a practice throughout my day is, you know, I'm just looking for Christ constantly. I really want to behold his face without any veils of flesh in the way, without any veils of my own understanding, and see him as he is so that I can be transformed more and more into that image. And you know, so I'm encouraged by 2 Corinthians 3:18 because it says from glory to glory, and that I can keep pressing on. You know, I want to go to the next glory, and then I don't want to get satisfied there, but I want to keep going on until I awaken his likeness and just, you know, really not be satisfied. But I realized a lot of the, and not be satisfied until I come in, you know, fully into his image. But I had realized that agitation in my soul was really the Lord. It was like he was, yeah, some of it could have been the warfare. I'll say this. There have been a few times I sat down to read the Word, and I was just getting hit with confusion and couldn't think straight. And so I was like, Lord, what's going on here? And I just heard witchcraft, so I bound up the spirit of witchcraft and commanded it to go, and it just broke instantly, and I was able to have some wonderful time in the Word. And today, you know, was there a little bit of that? I don't know. I can just say that as I waited on the Lord and pressed through, that the Lord just opened up the spirit to me in a wonderful way, and I didn't care if I didn't get past the first paragraph. I was hearing, you know, I was hearing from my Lord, and I was having sweet communion. He was bringing the Word to life, and that's what I need. I need the living Word, and so that I can more and more worship him in spirit and in truth. So So anyway, I was just thinking about, you know, I want to keep my soul at peace at all times. It is possible by the grace of God. You know, the Lord says in His Word, and may the Lord Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And so I want that. I want the, you know, peace at all times, no matter what. The Lord gave Charity and I a word a few years ago that, you know, there's going to be a lot of unrest in the world. There is a lot of unrest, and that's going to continue in the world, you know, as the Lord shakes everything. But He exhorted and encouraged us that as we enter into His rest, we don't have to take any part in that unrest. In fact, that peace will be a beacon of light to others, because we'll be looked at it as there's no way you can have peace without something greater. Something's greater there. What's going on? I want to be able to, you know, I want to be in the place where I'm not hindered by any fleshly baggage or dealing with carnal eyes, but I'm just walking with the Lord beside the still waters and able to share that living bread and that living water with others. So thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful for His patience with me, and thanks for sharing, everybody. I really appreciate it. So enjoyed, been blessed by everything tonight. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chad. Yes, we need to enter into that rest. Hebrews 4:1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And in verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Praise God. It's unbelief that keeps us out of the rest, isn't it? Well, all right. Anybody else like to share anything they have?
Michael?
You?
I was just thinking that even though we're all growing, it is still a good thing to confess that scripture, 1 John 4:17b, as Jesus is, so am I now in this world, so that God bring us up foot.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got any thing they'd like to share? Praise report? Prayer requests? The floor is open. How many of you are experiencing being in the rest of the Lord? Somewhat, you know. I do at times, and then at times when, I'll just make a confession here. How's that? That there are times when it seems like my flesh will get in the way of that rest, and then I have to sit down and think about where I'm at and ask the Lord's forgiveness and get back and say, Lord, I just believe You're going to handle this affair. I'm not going to worry about it, this circumstance. I'm going to put it in Your hands, and then you go back into that rest. I've had to do that. I don't want to have to do that much. I want to be in that place to where I just trust God implicitly. And I know that most of y'all do, too.
Yeah, hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I got a thought on that. That's something that the Lord's really been helping me with. I've been pondering that a lot, that scripture you shared about, you know, let us take heed lest any of us fall, lest anyone should come short of the grace of God. That really puts the fear of the Lord in me. You know, I was thinking on that a while ago as I was really looking at that. And like, you know, I mean, what really was, this is pretty serious here. I don't want to come short of the grace of God. And what if that grace only comes from the rest? You know, the belief comes from the faith, the obedience of faith. And so I've been learning to, the Lord's really been helping me with this, be cognizant, you know, just day to day, what I'm experiencing in my soul. I could probably put it this way, from a right perspective, is being aware of my feelings, but not living by them, but learning to rule over them and recognizing why is this there? Why am I feeling this? And asking the Lord to shine His light. You know, we have the word of prophecy made more sure, where do well that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in the dark place. In a dark place, and I know that lamp is shining into more and more of the dark places of my soul as I've taken this word seriously and really realizing my need to come into so much more of this. And so as I'm going from day to day, I just, and You know, I was like, Lord, I want to walk with you all the time at every moment, and help me to recognize when I'm getting off the path or even starting to go in that wrong direction. When am I striving in the wrong direction? I only want to strive to enter into his rest. And Lord, I don't have sense enough to do that myself. You got to show me how. And he's been doing that. So that's been helping.
Amen. Yeah, we need to say every day, I believe in possibility. There is a land of rest for me. And we need to be in union with Christ. Because I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that's what we have to do. That's good, Chad. We've got to say those things. We've got to remind ourselves those things.
I'm going to throw another thought in there. What you just said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I've been thinking on that, too. And I was thinking, you know, I only want the Lord's perfect will. That's really what I want in my life. I'm like, Lord, you be glorified. You're the one that's worthy of this vessel, all of it. And I just want it your way, and I need your guidance into that. And so, and it says all things, I think of it as, you know, all things that's pertaining to whatever his perfect will is for me, and however that fits, you know, however that fits into the body, you know. However the Lord wants me, wherever he wants me, just to be content and with that, and bear my cross. And the more I've thought on it that way, I see that, you know, as being more on the narrow road. And then, whatever the Lord requires, it's him. It's not me. You know, I know, of course, one of the things is to take out the giants in my own land, and he's able to do that. It's already been done, and I just enter into that more. So that's helped me some along the way, as I think of, you know, as the Lord just helps me put his word into perspective and just brings that word to light. So.
Amen. Well, you know, to get into that rest, first thing we've got to do is acknowledge that we can get into it, that we do believe that God can put us into that rest. Amen.
Can I bring up a prayer request real quick?
Sure.
Charity's mom's been staying with us, and she's in a situation where something has opened up for her to go in a living facility for, you know, elderly folks, and we've really been praying for the Lord's will here, and there's some there's a bit of a schism in the family between which way you know is best for her, and so we were just praying that the Lord would shut the door if it's not his will, but looks like something's opened up, and she may be moving in there Saturday. Not that the Lord still couldn't close that door, but I think he's just looking for something deeper here, so just want to really get the Lord's mind in this situation.
Yeah, go ahead, Chad, and we'll believe with you, brother.
Okay. Well, Lord, we praise you, Father, because you are good. And Lord, we know that you're working all things together for good, because we love you and we're called according to your purpose, Lord. And it's your purpose we want to enter more and more into, Lord. And I just pray that whatever your purpose is for Charity's mom, Lois, whatever your will is for her, Lord, concerning this situation, that you would make that abundantly clear to her, Father, that she would have a knowing and a peace in her heart as to what your will is. Lord, we pray that you'd give her the grace to hear your voice and to just be obedient to what you want, no matter what anyone thinks. But all that matters is, Lord, is what you know and what you want. And what your desire is. So we pray for your grace, Lord, for this. And if it is your will to go in there, even maybe if just for a season, that you have a purpose for her there, Lord, you're going to give her grace to be there, Father. But I just pray for rest for her, Lord, and the grace to wait on you and to hear from you and to have a knowing and assurance of your heart, what your will is in this situation, Father. Your voice brings peace, Lord. It stills the storm, and I pray that your voice would still the storm in her soul, Lord. And I know this is a trying thing for her, so just, Lord, I know she just wants your will. Her grace to fight the good fight of the faith and to just to be content with whatever your will is, Lord, and allow you to do the whatever the work is you want to do in here, Lord. And give Charity and I knowing also, Lord. We just pray your will be done, Lord. Your kingdom come and your will be done in her life above all. And we just need your grace and wisdom for that, Lord, and we thank you for it. Give it to us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father, for opening doors and shutting doors. Just say whatever you want, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
Hello?
Hey, go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, I got a question here. I was looking at Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, which I spoke today, but then I also mentioned 20, and it says about Abraham, which is a good example to follow, yet looking unto the promise of God. Okay. He doubted not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. But when you look at Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise. You see, so I'm looking at this word promise here. Abraham was looking to this promise of God, but here it says, let us also fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. So, are we not looking for that promise of God to enter into that rest, as it says in 20, chapter 4 of Romans? It's just something I'm trying to get around here, because this verse is so closely mentioned to this one that I was so enamored with, like from 22 to 25 in chapter 4. And I guess I'm looking at promise more so in these two verses, 4:1 of Hebrews and 4:20 of Romans. So if you're looking unto the promise of God, and here is less a promise being left us of entering into his rest. So I was just kind of wondering if we're not really looking properly, or what is it that he's trying to warn us of here, or, you know, maybe try to get me to collate something personally for myself. I don't know. Anyways, I guess it's more of a statement question, if you can take it that way.
Well, are you saying that I'm not really understanding what your question is, Andrew, because one talks about it in a positive way, and the other one just warns you about not entering into his rest, right?
I guess it has to do with then the faith.
You're right. That's exactly right.
But, you know, I always thought of faith as Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access, confidence unto his faith. They're attributes of being part of the body of Christ.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just pray about this and study a bit more and ask the Lord about it.
Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to what Andrew's talking about there? Well, I'm. We got to have faith to get in the rest. So I don't know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, it says in Matthew 6:33. Seek salvation, seek the end of the kingdom. Praise God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else is going to come along, won't it? Praise the Lord. Okay, we're winding down here. I'd like to ask if there's anybody else like to pray about something or would like prayer at this time. No prayers. Okay, well, I'll just pray. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you that you are bringing us all into that rest. I thank you for these scriptures sometimes that make us wonder and make us think and make us dig deeper, Lord, into your word to find out what the meaning is, Lord. And that keeps us kind of sharp and keeps us on our toes, Lord, as to what you're telling us. And when we do that, Father, you always take us off into another direction that gives us another avenue of learning, Lord, and we thank you for that too. I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us all to be obedient to the word and keeping us into that narrow road, Lord, that you require. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you would put a hunger in each one of our hearts to be that friend of God, to want to strive and to pay the pearl of great price, to get that portion of you, Lord, that we all want. And that's all of you, Lord. I want all of you. I want myself to go away and God be in me at all times, Father. And I know everybody else is like that too, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you give us the wherewithal, you give us the faith, and put it in our hearts to be obedient to you, Father. Teach us how to get rid of the flesh. Teach us how to get rid of the world and to turn off the TVs and turn off all of the distractions, Father. And I thank you that you're doing that in each one of us. Lord, keep us all healthy. Protect us. Keep us in your way. And Lord, we look forward to the next time that we're all back together again, Thursday night. And we ask, Lord, and we pray that there would be no problems with communications for anybody on the conference call fellowship on Thursday night, Lord. And I ask and I pray that your word would go forth and people would be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless tomorrow night's broadcast too. In Jesus' name. Good night, folks. God love you.